When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 129. Going to recap your week in Fab as usual and just have a little more fun. Who knows? S'mores talk probably comes up. Mr. Vacation's back. He had a great time. So who knows what desserts he came up with? You can find myself on Twitter at BDintric. And the man that blew up Twitter on Monday as the Mr. Bat Flip Crazy on Twitter at Bat Flip Crazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
I'm good. Wow. I was gone for a week and all of a sudden Mr. Vacation and
I'm jealous.
I'm a one name man, you know, just call me Toby.
I saw that on Twitter the other day. It was so funny. It was like Glenn's laughing. I was like, oh, you're never going to live that down ever.
I know. For those who aren't on Twitter all day long, like myself, Justin Mason put out the lineup for Potapalooza. Potapalooza, right?
Yeah.
Which is a great event. It's a fundraiser for charity, and it's this weekend, July 23rd and July 24th. I'll be on at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. How about you, Bubba?
I am at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Saturday.
On Saturday, okay. And I'm later on Saturday as well. But in the list of people who were participating, it just said Toby. And so I think it was Jenny Butler first who commented and was like, is he a one name guy now? Or what's the deal? Like Mr. Batflip Crazy, Toby Batflip Crazy or whatever. So it was very funny. I said it made my day just to see that discussion happening. It was a lot of fun, but yeah, had some desserts. Really went to the Baked Bear in South Lake Tahoe, which nice. I'd highly recommend. It's got some big cookies, some big ice cream. It was fantastic. Tahoe's great. If anybody gets a chance to go there, it's a lot of fun and very relaxing. So,
yep, it's the best. It's absolutely awesome there. No one cares, but like I listen to Pat McAfee show a lot. He has played in the Century.
I care.
Thank you. He played in the Century tournament where all the celebrities play like the weekend before. I think you got there. You might have got there right around then. It's the first time he's ever been in Tahoe, and when he returned to his show Monday and was talking about, he's like, it's like a hidden gem. Place is amazing, like everything's perfect with it. I'm like, yeah, welcome. Like California's not all like heavy freeways and smog. Like there's some pretty cool spots if you have to go searching for it. Tahoe, it's a beauty. You get all the seasons, you get it all, so it's definitely a good time.
Yeah. California is unreal. I mean, California is unbelievably beautiful all over. I mean, where you live, where I live, like Tahoe, redwoods, beaches, like It's not all LA and San Francisco.
There's so much more than just the two big cities. So lots going on in the state. But yeah, we got some fantasy baseball to talk about here. Week 16 fab with the All-Star break going on right now. Some people, when we get into our pickups for the week, I had one OC that was pretty much asleep at the wheel. There was like five total moves in the league. Me and one other guy made moves. And then every other league was pretty active. But there was one I was just like, whoa, okay. Sounds good. So as usual, we'll recap the online championships, the 12-teamers, but Toby will definitely give his 15-team twist to it because that's where he's rocking and rolling these days. And we'll go over the top moves of the week, hit up some listener questions, and get on out of here for you guys on a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, whenever you are listening to this. And the top ad of the week in 189 leagues, Esturi Ruiz of the San Diego Padres for $454 max bid. That was wild. Dude's got a ton of speed in the minors. Got one stolen base so far early on here. He's got five hits, double and a triple. He even got caught stealing one, so he's tried to steal twice, which is big. The only thing I'll mention is he's playing in the outfield. They got some injuries in San Diego. Those will eventually go away. Then playing time can be interesting. I wasn't super aggressive on Ruiz. We'll see if that's a wrong move. What was your thoughts on Esturi Ruiz?
Yeah, I wasn't overly aggressive on Ruiz. I think there are some limitations to the profile. I think he's like, you know, super high ceiling because of the steals, as you mentioned, but also incredibly low floor, I think, as well. I mean, you just see it already in the profile. He's only got 19 plate appearances, but his O swing is at 50%. You know, he's not making a ton of contact, 13.3% hard hit rate. I know that was kind of talked about a lot, was just the absolute lack of hard hit rate that he has. His max EV so far on 15 balls in play is 100 miles per hour. That's sub Kevin Biggio levels right there, which is always scary. So I think there's like a lot of limitations, and then there's the playing time issue, right? So Profar's back. He was called up right after Profar went down. He's a right-handed hitter. Will Myers is on the recovery. He should be back after the All-Star break. So there's more and more competition. And I think what was challenging to kind of navigate is he faced, I think, either four or five left-handers out of six games. And so I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh, he's playing every day. And it's like, well, it's really hard to determine whether he's actually playing every day or whether he's part of the short side platoon. And then when Will Myers comes, he goes back down. Now, they obviously, you know, there's some rumors that they want to showcase him, make him part of a larger deal, which is certainly a possibility. And I think that's maybe where the most value lies. So it's one of those things where I think the chance that he hits is like 10%. But if he hits, you know, and that includes like 50% that he gets consistent playing time and 50% chance that he's actually good, or even less than that, probably, in my estimation. So like, you know, 10% that he hits, if he hits, it could be a league winner because of the steals, you know, 60 steals already this year. Although again, steals in the minors, a little bit questionable. But even the Bad X has him projected for, I think, six when I looked during Fab. Six steals and 108 plate appearances. Let's see, what is it? And it's now 96 and 98 plate appearances. So you're talking 600 plate appearance, 36 steals. That's huge from a projection standpoint. So I could see why people were aggressive with him. I wasn't as aggressive. There were some guys that I felt were pretty similar. Like in 15s, I was looking at Akil Baddoo with a lot of games coming up as like a very similar maybe guy with more power who's actually done it in the majors for a little while. So, yeah, that's just a really long way of saying I wasn't that aggressive with him, like $13 bids and 15-teamers, stuff like that, where I was pretty sure I wasn't going to get him.
Yeah, I was just really, really concerned with the playing time, as you mentioned. That's like it's this time of the year where, you know, if some leagues I have, you know, $400 or whatever, some leagues I have like $250. It's like I can't be going crazy for a guy I can't trust to be there. I'd rather, you know, spend $10-$12 on a Leody Taveras or something that might be up just as long or longer and roll those dice, or different players. Like we talked about so many outfielders in recent weeks that like you can move up and down and move around your rosters. And I think I'd rather spend on those. Again, could be wrong. Like you said, the ceiling of steals is crazy. It's just, I'm not a believer in the playing time. We'll see. Could be wrong. We've been wrong on many of these things. I've been wrong on many of these things before. So time will tell with Esturi Ruiz. All right, next up, Max Meyer, another young stud pitcher for the Miami Marlins. They just keep churning them out. He's crushing the minor leagues in his debut against Philadelphia. 5 1/3, 7 hits, 5 runs. 2 of those are home runs. a walk in 5Ks. Like, there was some good out of the start, obviously some bad out of the start. Could have been nerves. Like, we see this a lot with these stud pitchers. He's supposed to get a pretty good run here going forward, so we'll see. But they do have guys coming back from the IL. I got Edward Cabrera coming back. Does he go into the rotation? What happens there? There's other moving pieces in Miami. So I put bids in on Meyer, but like, there's going to be a theme. I wasn't aggressive on anybody this week, but Meyer was one. I was very intrigued by Meyer. I just didn't want to break the bank, and I need to report he was added in 173 leagues, as high as $308. So what was your thoughts on Max Meyer?
Yeah, I wasn't aggressive at all on Meyer, which part of it was just looking at the projection. You know, none of the projection systems really have him being all that good. You know, the lowest ERA is Steamer, which is not surprising. Steamer kind of is higher on everybody. The bat has him at 4.38 with a 1.34 whip. You know, even Steamer at that 4.1 has a 1.34 whip, and none of them have him at even a K per nine. Now, again, it's the projections, their medium projections. You know, he could do much better. Sometimes they miss on minor leaguers. He had an okay start, as you mentioned. You know, I think the positives were the low walk rate. You know, again, one start, but 17.4% came on his walk, 11.4% swinging strike. But he didn't really dominate in the zone. He was heavy, heavy slider. I mean, 50% sliders, which is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how different teams play him. I don't know, you know, whether he was more effective against lefties or what, but it seems like a situation where, you know, lefties might be able to take advantage, although it looks like righties were the ones that got him on this one. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. I think another limitation is just the Marlins offense. I mean, one of the reasons why a lot of people weren't on Sandy Alcantara, even though he was really good, was because of the wins, right? I think he got 9 wins last year, despite being like absolutely off the hook. And so, you know, with Meyer, like, we're going to run into the same issue. And I think that's an issue for all Marlins pitchers. The difference is Alcantara is incredibly elite. The benefit is Meyer does have a great pitching park to go into. So, I mean, there's positives and negatives, but I didn't see a huge, I didn't see him, like, pitching is where I'm doing really well generally across my leagues. And so I wasn't focused as much on pitchers, especially ones that I felt like it was going to take a big bid to win them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% with you. Like, pitching's hard to find. I get it. And especially in 15s, and we have a question on that later that we'll talk about. But again, it comes back to what I said with Ruiz. Like, I only have so much money left. We still have 11 fab periods to go. It's like, I want to be able to get those moves. We talked about it time and time again, like, where you flourished last year was getting these late week moves because you had the money to do it. And you made some serious jumps in leagues and at least finished in the cash, if not winning. And you have to have the money to do that. Obviously, I'd rather be able to put out, you know, $6 to $12 bids throughout the rest of the season and get guys when everyone else can put $2 and $3 bids out, stuff like that. So it has to be something I'm like, in reality with Meyer, I was intrigued by him, but there was almost some relievers I was willing to put out there in this short week over Meyer just to get those counting stats. And that's kind of where my head was at in the roster construction, or there was especially relievers on teams playing like 5 games. Like, okay, he's playing at least 2 outings. Like, you know, you're going to get 2 to 3 innings out of this guy. Maybe he'll, you know, sneak a win in or something. Like, that was the kind of stuff I was more intrigued with than a guy like Meyer, who legit could be gone in a couple starts. He could be an ace. You never know. But you look at last year, I think he threw like 101 or 102 total innings. He's already at like 66 on this season. So what's he have? 50, 60 maybe innings left? Maybe. So even if it's 5 innings a start, 10 starts, 11 starts, if he sticks around, that's, you know, you're not getting the full dose. But who knows? We'll have to kind of wait and see how that one plays out as well. Leody Taveras, this is one I was very intrigued by. Picked up in 173 leagues, as high as $200. I know you've talked about him in recent weeks. I've been playing a ton of him in DFS. Anybody that's in the chats that I run, he's been like dirt cheap in DraftKings. He's up to like 2,400 by the break. He's at 2K forever. Switch hitter, ended the first half on an 8-game hitting streak, hitting safely in 10 of his last 11. And it's not even just like a short spurt. He's hitting .341 since getting called up, with 3 homers, 5 stolen bases. And most importantly, I know you'll hit on all this, his strikeout rate is dropping compared to what we've seen in the past. His plate discipline is much better. It was improved in the minors, and it's translated to the bigs compared to previous seasons. He used to be like a low 30% K guy. Now he's a 24%. That's a big drop for the stuff we're looking for. I mean, he's getting on base, and he's going to steal bags. So I love the improvements we're seeing. He's still a very young player. He had the prospect pedigree. Is he going to be elite? Who knows? Is he going to regress a bit? Probably. Like, the BABIP's crazy. I'm not stupid.
But I think the speed's legit. He does have decent power, and the Rangers have no reason not to play this guy. So I was very excited about this. Was one of the guys I was more excited about this week. What about you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, where he was available in 15 teamers, I was pretty aggressive. Unfortunately, he was gone in a lot of places. It's just one of those things. Like, I loved Leody last year. Last year, I had him in so many places, so many DCs, so many leagues, and he just killed me. And it's just, you know, last week was the week of his career so far. I think he had at least three steals. I think he had two home runs last week. Like, yep. Just been really good. You mentioned some of the improvements in the K rate. I think that's really big, as you mentioned. And it shows up in his contact rate too. 79% contact rate, up 4% from last year. In zone contact, up 10%, which is huge. You know, play discipline, you know, he's still not going to be a guy who walks a ton, but that contact, I think, is really critical for him. You mentioned the BABIP. Yeah, he's not going to hit 420. He's not going to have a BABIP of 426. That's for sure. But if he can hit 250, I mean, with the power and speed combo that he's got, Bad X has him projected for 230, five home runs, nine steals, and 230 plate appearances. I mean, that's 1018 over the course of a full year, and pretty impressive. If he can move his way up that lineup a little bit, I think, you know, then he really becomes a fantasy asset. I think the challenge is, right, we've probably seen the best week that he's going to have. And it's going to be tough for him to replicate that. He's got the three home runs, but they come on only two barrels. So he's got more home runs than barrels. He does have the nice max EV at 109.2, which is really nice. The hard hit is up as well. So again, like, I think you're hoping for like that 250, you know, and keeping up the steals. I mean, the Rangers have been super aggressive. I mean, think about Marcus Semien. I mean, we're talking about Marcus Semien like he was done. Like, not we were, but like people were talking about him like he's done. I mean, he's got to have like 75 steals already this year. How many does he have? I mean, let me see.
Off the top of my head, I'm guessing he's like 16, 17, maybe.
Like, what is he? What are you sending? I mean, every time I see, you want to know how I know is because I have Josh Smith everywhere. He's got 17 already.
Yeah, let's take him.
Yeah, don't listen to me. I was the guy who was like, he's not going to steal more bases than he stole last year. I mean, yeah, I have Josh Smith everywhere, you know? So I'm like looking for that Josh Smith stolen base, and all I see is Marcus Semien stolen bases, you know?
Yep.
So, but yeah, Tavares, I mean, very solid. Like, I think you get him in there, he's playing every day, which is critical. He's a switch hitter, so he can play every day. As long as he's hot, he'll be there. Kind of ride it while you can, but don't be afraid to jump off when things cool down a little bit, which I think they inevitably will. I do like him a lot more than Estuary Ruiz, to the question we get later.
100%. Yeah, no, I was all in on that. Like, he should be playing over Cole Calhoun pretty much every day. There's no reason to play Calhoun out there. You mentioned the aggressiveness of the Rangers. Like, Smith's running a lot, but he seems to be platooning for the most part. On the strong side of it, don't get me wrong, but he leads off when he plays, which is nice. Adelis Garcia's running wild, which is fun to see. Like, you're right, this team's – and they're putting up runs, like, this last week or so. I know they played the A's, which most teams will, but they also had some other matchups where you thought it'd be kind of quiet maybe, and that offense is pesky because Seager is balling out. I've been 100% wrong on that. You mentioned Semien. This team and Nathaniel Lowe has been productive. Like, it's a sneaky good offense for a bad baseball team is the best way I could put it. Like, it's fantasy relevant, and Tavares can fit in there. Like, he's hitting sixth, but he's been productive because up and down that lineup, they either have good OBP guys or they have guys that are just getting it done right now. So he's going to have production opportunities, which I like to see out there for sure. All right. Next up on the docket here, Matt Carpenter. This guy, I wrote about him in way too many articles lately because it's just mind-boggling to me. 138 leagues, as high as 156. The dude's got 13 home runs on the season, 34 RBIs. He's walking 13.4% of the time, hitting 354. Obviously, regression's coming for the man, but he's elevating the ball more often. He's pulling the ball more often, which is the Yankee Stadium recipe. Like, it works. It's hard to ignore it, and he kind of is platooning, but I can't remember who tweeted it out. If you look over like the last 3 weeks or whatever, he's has the same amount of at bats as like Gleyber Torres and two other guys that are kind of platooned as well. So he's playing kind of regularly for a Yankee, if that makes sense. And it's making him fantasy real. I did not want to buy into this, and it's hard to kind of ignore at this point, Toby.
Yeah. I mean, he's played the last four games, including righties and lefties. He was definitely interesting. I mean, you know, we know that Matt Carpenter's been good. And I think one of the things that I like about him is that the plate discipline is so elite. You know, he's so selective at the plate that even when he's not, you know, that he can drain that batting average quick, but he's at least getting on base, you know, scoring some runs, especially in that lineup. He's not going to have a 557 ISO. You know, he's not going to have a 41.9% home run per fly ball. You know, he's got 13 homers on 11 barrels, but like he's making contact. Like the contact rate is up to where it last was in 2017, you know? So he's making contact. O swing continues to be low. And as long as he plays well and Joey Gallo is terrible, then, you know, I think he's still going to get some opportunities to play. And then when he doesn't, then, you know, the playing time will cut back a little bit, but they'll get what they can out of him. And I think that could be decent, you know, like it's a good recipe, like a high contact, good plate discipline, super low ground ball rate in Yankee Stadium, like you mentioned, is kind of ideal. So I wasn't overly aggressive on him. He was actually available, I think, in one 15 teamer that I had, but I didn't go too aggressive just because I feel like we've seen the best and we could see some bad stuff here coming up. But yeah, it doesn't mind, especially in like a 12 team where he's the type of guy you just kind of throw in there, especially next week. Yankees have 5 games. I even picked up Joey Gallo in a couple places.
Whew.
They have 5 games, 4 righties, I believe. Yep. Let me just double check that. Oh, no, they've got 5 righties.
Yep.
They were going up against Verlander, Garcia, Wells, Bradish, and Kramer. I mean, yeah, you got that
Baltimore series.
You know that Dean Kramer. You know Dean Kramer owes Joey Gallo a couple home runs, right?
Yep.
So, and again, like, you know, Gallo, we're not going to keep him for an extended period of time, but if he plays 3 or 4 of these games, I think we could get a homer or two out of it. So we'll see.
Yep. That was the whole idea was get those max at bat weeks. And there were a few really good spots out there for sure. And the Yankees obviously were one of them. Kyle Finnegan added in 135 leagues as high as 123 with Tanner Rainey going to the IL for the rest of the season. It looks like on paper it's going to be Finnegan's job, because even going into the season, it was kind of a debate, Finnegan or Rainey. Rainey had it. Rainey was decent. Not great, decent, though. Looks like it's Finnegan's job now, so he was a very popular ad this week. I had bids in. I can't remember if I got him anywhere or not, but I had bids in. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I got him a couple of places. I was pretty aggressive. It may just be sentimentality from last year where he really helped me out in quite a few leagues. But he's also been much better. You know, last 15 games, his in-zone contact rate's at 73%. O-swing is at 33%. K-rate is at 26.7. Walk rate's at 8.3, which is big for him because traditionally he's struggled with control. So you're looking at like an 18% K-minus walk rate and then swinging strike rate at 16.2%. So prone to blowups because of those walks, but he's been trending upward in that general direction. Let me see if it's actually like the product of anything in particular, like a velocity increase. I don't think it was when I looked. Oh yeah, it's definitely a velocity increase. So he's up 1.5 miles per hour from earlier in the season. He's at 97.1 over his last 15 games, which is a full tick higher than he's ever been in his career before. So there's a reason why he is better. And over his last 10, he's close to 97.5. And over his last 5, he's at 97.5 essentially over his last little bit. So again, like you'd love to see all that stuff. That's what you want to see. It elevates his potential to be a better pitcher. And so I was pretty aggressive with him. I was in the $30, which is pretty aggressive for me in that scenario. Let me just see if there's been any type of like change in what he's throwing. Not really. You know, he's throwing the fastball even more, but the velo is really helping him out a lot. So interesting. Yeah. So I was aggressive with him. I think he's the guy. You know, it was kind of a little lucky. I thought it was going to be lucky because he didn't get the save on Sunday. It looked like he was going to get the save. Then they got another run, so he didn't get it. So I thought that might keep the price low. Of course, he was in like the 30s to 50s in league. So I like him, you know.
Yeah, I can definitely see the appeal. So he's one of the better relief pitching targets to come in. And it was good and bad. Is I had Ryan Roof on last week, and at the end of the episode, I said, hey, who are some guys to potentially stash going forward? And he mentioned Finnegan. And the very next day, Rainey went down with an injury. I was like, oh, well, we can't get him for cheap now. That's just been out the window. But he was on that one, so that was good to see. Another Miami Marlins pitcher, Braxton Garrett, added 107 leagues, as high as $51. To be honest, I was more in on Braxton Garrett than I was on Max Meyer. Garrett threw over 120 innings last year. He's around 65 this year, so he's got a long ways to go if he goes to improve his innings totals. He did dominate the Pirates his last time out. It is the Pirates, a grain of salt. But overall, it's been pretty solid going outside of a Cardinals game. Strikeouts have been hit and miss, but he's shown really good pedigree throughout the minors. And I like what I'm seeing from him. He should, on paper, be in this rotation for a little bit unless he really screws up. So I was more into Braxton Garrett this week than Max Meyer. And I did get Garrett in a few spots. What about you?
Yeah, you know, we talked about Garrett like 5 weeks ago, I think, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, after his initial start, which makes us sound like really smart, except how many shares do I still have of him left over? I have zero. You know, I had him on virtually every single team, you know, when he was being bad, and I didn't have him in for most of those weeks, but yeah, I like what I've seen. You have to take into consideration like who he was facing, but over his last five games, the O swing is at 42.6%, which is fantastic.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
26.3% K rate. The walk rate is super low at 5.3%, which you'd expect with that chase rate. You know, so over 20% K minus walk, 13.6% swinging strike rate. His one struggle is in the zone. He can't get guys in the zone. So that worries me a little bit if that O swing or if guys don't chase, guys start to see him, or you stop facing, you know, the Pirates and the Rockies repeatedly. Like, I worry a little bit about that, but, yeah, I mean, he pitched really well against the Pirates. He did fine against the Mets. He did great against the Nationals. He struggled against the Cardinals, did well against Colorado. But you love to see that from a guy, honestly. It's like the reverse Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez, God knows when to throw the guy. I mean, he seems to pitch better against the Astros and the Dodgers than he does against, like, the Rangers, you know? That's the worst. When a guy dominates bad teams and he's a streamer type, like, you love that because you know you can kind of go to him and you can trust him. So I think I might have gotten him into 12. I think I got JT Brubaker and Garrett, or I might have just gotten Brubaker, or I might have just gotten Garrett. I can't remember. We'll find out later. Cliffhanger, I know. Really
I was in on both of them, just to cheer clear too. Like, yeah, I'm with you.
Totally. So yeah, so I think all the skills are looking good. I haven't checked Eno Saris' stuff plus, but that's why I was interested in him initially, was because he rated so highly there, and I probably shouldn't have given up on him so quickly. Lesson learned.
Yeah, no, but that's, we talk about it time and time again, and it's one of those, like, you can't just hold guys and hoping all the time. Like, you got to be able to move guys. And on paper, yes, he looked good and everything, but early on, there was still a chance when Edward Cabrera came up and some other, like, stuff, that he wasn't sticking around. Like, he was just spot starting, so you weren't going to hold on to him and stash him. Like, he's not a stash on your roster. He's not some, like, elite arm. But, you know, now it's Captain Hindsight stuff is all it is. And if, you know, we can get our buddy Rob on and tell us, what bias is this, Rob? Because we have a bias right here, and this is one that got us good. And, hey, it happens. This won't be the last time this year either. That's the fun part. Alexis Diaz of the Cincinnati Reds added in 79 leagues, as high as $58, as low as one, brother of Edwin Diaz. Alexis has some really nasty stuff. He's been pitching in the back end of that Cincinnati rotation. He's got a couple saves on the year. It's just a constant revolving door in Cincinnati. I wasn't overly into it. Just, like, he's good, but, you know, we've done the Strickland dance. We've done like seven guys now, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. Like Diaz could be out by next Friday and it could be someone else. So I get it, but this was definitely not a break the bank guy for me.
What did Strickland do to deserve losing that job?
Yeah, that's what bugs me, because I actually got Strickland a few weeks ago.
I got Strickland too.
And he's been really good. Like, I know he can blow up. I've said it before. I've seen it in San Francisco. I remember the blowups. But when he's on, he's really good. Like, he's a good closer, and he had done nothing wrong in Cincinnati. So it was really confusing. I don't know.
I was pissed. I had him. And then, he could be back. Not only that,
he could be back on Friday, for all we know. You would not be shocked if Strickland's closing on Friday. Like, that's just how stupid it is.
He and then they bring him in down like 11-3 or 8-3 in the eighth inning, like after he pitched the day before. I'm like, what the heck? And he gives up three runs, of course, like right out the gate. That was brutal. For Diaz, like, I like him, you know, he's better than Strickland, but my major concerns are the BABIP super low at 183, walk rate's really high at 14.3%. He's got some nice, the end zone contact, the O swing, the swinging strike are solid. K minus walk isn't exceptional at 16.4% because of that really high walk rate, which concerns me again. And we saw that kind of come back to bite him in his second outing. So again, without knowing for sure that he's going to have the saves, I think he's a dangerous play because of that walk rate. And again, we don't have the track record to know whether, like, with his home run rate, he's given up three home runs, but it comes on six barrels. So it's hard to, like, know, you know, what he's going to get to, you know, like what type of pitcher he's going to be from that perspective. So there could be regression coming there as well. So, which is all to say, I stayed away.
Yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess in Cincy. And until they ever say we have one guy, I'm in, but I don't know if they're going to say that. Maybe there'll be some trades that take place and it kind of shores it up to at least two guys down the stretch. But for now, it's literally a revolving door in Cincinnati, and it is very, very annoying. If you can get him for a buck or two, cool, roll your dice, see what happens. But like we talked about this time and time again, these are not break the bank guys. Finnegan, I could see spending some cash. Like, I don't see anybody taking that job from him unless he gets traded or just really blows up. But Diaz, like I said, Friday night we could see Strickland or even somebody else closing that game, and none of us would be surprised. So it's just the way it goes in Cincinnati, and that's the full tilt moment when you spend money on this guy. The Reds are up 4-3, eighth inning, and you see someone else warming up in the bullpen, and you're just like, I just spent all that money. Like, sweet, this is great. So yeah, it'll happen. Another one, Brett Martin of the Texas Rangers was added in 70 leagues, as high as $59. Martin's been closing with Barlow out, picked up three saves, but the last couple outings have been a little rough, including a loss on his last outing. Overall, they've been pretty darn good this season as a whole when it comes to being out of the bullpen. But Barlow will be back here, I believe, sooner than later, so that's something to keep an eye on. But Martin has been very, very formidable, and if Barlow gets traded or gets hurt again, it seems like Martin's the guy. But that's why he was a heavy target for some this week. What about you, Toby?
Yeah, he was a heavy target for me last week. I definitely think he has the gig. He's pitched well when he's had save opportunities. The skills have declined recently, so you hope those improve. Like, he's got a gnarly Z contact of like 98%. O swing is down, which I think is critical for him because you can tell that he can't get swings and misses inside the zone. Walk rate is up as a result. Swinging strike rate's decent at 11%. So it's not overwhelming skill-wise, but I definitely think he has the job until he loses it. So I rolled with him. I think I picked him up in an OC, I think. I picked him up last week in a couple 15-teamers.
Yeah, no, he's definitely like a $2, $3 bid I was making this week. I don't think I got him anywhere, but didn't mind rolling with him at least this week, especially with not that many starters going. It had my attention for sure. Kyle Lewis is rehabbing for the Mariners in AAA, and he's scorching hot. He was picked up in 66 leagues, as high as $52. He's hitting .261, which, you know, it's Kyle Lewis, but he has five home runs over that stretch, which is very, very promising. It's got people very excited about Kyle Lewis, but people are always excited about Kyle Lewis, and we've seen that roller coaster ride. He's got a great ceiling. We've seen that, but there's also a massive floor, like a basement floor with Kyle Lewis. So people were picking him up this week in hopes of him coming up and making an impact, but I guess I was not one of them. What about you, Toby?
Yeah, I did not go after Lewis. I think they were talking end of July, which I guess it's almost end of July already, but you know, the health is a major concern. I'm sure they're going to treat him with, is it kid gloves? Is that what they say?
I'd say kid gloves. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to just, he's not going to play all that often, but I mean, he could be big. You know, he's projected for 24 home runs over 600 plate appearances by the Bat X. The batting average is low, but seems a little too low given where he's been throughout his career. He steals a little bit, although maybe he won't because of the health issues. So yeah, I mean, I can see why people were aggressive with him. Like a good example, you know, in 480 plate appearances so far in the majors, he's hitting 258 with 24 homers and 7 steals. I mean, that's huge, especially in deeper leagues. In 12 teamers, I mean, I think this is where people go a little wrong, is like, that's kind of that in a 12 teamer, that's like replacement level. Like you can pick up guys who do that week in, week out just by streaming guys. Yep. You know, so it's like, who would you rather have this week? Kyle Lewis or like Jake Myers on Houston, who's going to have 5 games and play every day and potentially steal, potentially hit home runs, probably score some runs at some RBI. Like that's the type of those are the guys that you got to be after instead of like the Kyle Lewis's. Wait till Kyle Lewis comes up and you have a sense of his playing time,
100%.
Because he's not a guy who's going to, he's not a league winner.
And that's you nailed it. And that's why I think it's fun. You give your 15 team mindset. I give my 12 because I'm 100%. That's why I wasn't in on him at all. I'm like, I don't need to stash a guy right now, especially a guy like Kyle Lewis on my bench in a 12 team league when there's so many other options. Like we've talked about the Tyron Taylors, the Jake Myers, like all these other guys that are playing all the time. I'd rather go with Akil Baddoo on the big schedule they have this week. Obviously I was in on Leody Taveras. There's just so many more outfield options I was going for over a guy that might not be back to the end of July, and we just don't know when he's going to play. He could be good. Could be really good, like we talked about. But for a 12, it's tricky. It's tricky to roster a guy like that. And I've had questions from people in 10 and 12-team leagues like about, should I start stashing certain guys? And I'm like, these aren't stash guys. They're just not. I hate to break it to you. Like, they're fun. They're cool names. They're young. People are hyped on them. They're not stashes. They're just not at this point in time. Unless you have unlimited ILs, then you can do whatever you want. But that's a different animal. Nolan Jones, he was picked up in most leagues last week, but 51 leagues for as high as 181 this past week. Obviously, I would assume not available on any 15s this week after last week, but I didn't have you here last week. So I want to get your thoughts on Nolan Jones, who's hitting 333 so far. He's got a home run. He's walking 18% of the time, striking out a ton still, but walking a lot, which I think is really, really good to see. So what are your thoughts on Nolan Jones? Because the hype train is real with this one in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good, right? The O swing's at 19.8%, which is fantastic. He's got a history of walking, you know, even his projections are anywhere from 11 to 12.8% walk rate. So that's huge. If you're in an OBP league, you know, it's fantastic news. The K rate is going to be high. The BABIP is not going to be 471. He does have 4 barrels, you know, max EV of 110. So he checks a lot of the boxes for your typical kind of power OBP power hitter, but he's got a little bit of speed too. I mean, all the projection systems have him for a couple steals in 150 plate appearances. So, you know, rest of the season, maybe looking at 8-4. So not bad. Depends on where he ends up in the lineup. If he stays hot, he could be in the middle of that order and produce a lot more, but chances are, you know, he comes down to earth a little bit here and has a slow few weeks.
Yeah, I don't have any shares of Nolan Jones. Like it's the talent is legit, but it's like why I have no Gorman shares. There's just so many guys. I avoid most prospects unless it's cheap, just because I'm so timid on the whole situation. Now Cleveland, what do they have to lose? They really don't, because he's cheap. I guess playing time, because they'll start costing more sooner. But yeah, roll with what you got. But yeah, I would expect a little bit of a slowdown. The fact he walks like he does, though, is very promising. I like seeing that from a young kid. That is a big plus, and that should help him a little bit as well. All right, the man we mentioned earlier, and I already had him in a bunch of leagues, even 12s. I'm a big fan of JT Brubaker. Added in 51 leagues, as high as $51. Since June 9th, he's made 7 starts, 42 innings, 44 strikeouts. He has 5 or more Ks in each one of those 7 starts. He has 3 earned runs or less in 6 of those 7 starts. He's got at least 5 in each of them. 3.19 ERA, 3.71 xFIP. He's been pretty darn good. And he's been a fantasy 15s. He's like a great fantasy starter because he's just consistent. I like him in 12s. I don't see this changing much. But we've seen the changes he's made from last year to this year and even early this season till now. Very promising, to me at least. What's your thoughts on JT Brubaker?
Yeah, I picked him up in some places in a 12 where I'm my pitching isn't what I had hoped it would be, just because he has the Marlins, and the Marlins have been absolutely god-awful. The concern always with Brubaker is the home runs. You know, that's always kind of been his bugaboo a little bit. I'm just looking.
He's allowed one since June 9th.
Yeah, I think he's gone to the sinker more. Yeah,
five straight starts without a home run.
He's not throwing he's throwing the sinker a ton more. He's kind of moved away from the four-seam fastball. That's good. So, yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, the home runs is going to be the big issue for him. But, yeah, I mean, Miami, Milwaukee, Tampa, Chicago, you know. So the teams haven't been that good, but he's consistently getting those strikeouts and he's pitching decently, and he's going up against Miami again, I believe. Let me see if they've confirmed anything there. But yeah, they have him going up against our man Braxton Garrett on Saturday.
Nice. Must see TV, folks. Must see TV.
Yeah. So yeah, it's great.
Maybe you have to do a live Bub in the Bat Flip broadcast of Braxton Garrett and JT Brubaker.
Oh man, that's everyone what people want to see.
Yeah, everyone's gonna tune in for that. That'll be must listen to. All right, Freddy Peralta added in 49 leagues as high as 111. A lot of people added him last week, more added him this week. You know, they're speculating hopefully in July and August. I'm still nervous on how slowly they ramp him up. That's been my concern. I love Freddy. I dropped him in a lot of places because I drafted him everywhere because I thought he'd be out longer than this. That was the initial reports. So he's coming back a little earlier than the initial reports, which also makes you think they're going to slow play him back. They need him for October. They don't need him for August. So I have not been super aggressive on Freddie. That might be my problem. What are your thoughts on people and picking up Freddie? Have you picked up Freddie?
Yeah, I picked him up in my OC just because I can handle the weight. Yeah, the stash there, just moving guys through all the time. And I need ratios, which is the worst place to be on earth. When you need ratios, you're like, oh God. Yeah. So I think it's all about like what you got on your bench and what's available to you. I don't think he's going to be pitching in the big leagues probably until middle of August, maybe. So you're really stashing him for a little bit. He threw a bullpen session. But you know, again, they're going to roll him along slowly because he's the future, and they would rather have him healthy for the playoffs, which I think they're going to make. I'm pretty confident in that. So, yeah.
Yep. Another guy coming off the IL, hopefully as early as this week, and if not early next week, is Jacob Junis of the Giants, picked up in 47 leagues, as high as $49. Junis was great before he got hurt, like a really shiny light in that Giants rotation. A lot of people helping fantasy goodness for everybody. So I think this is a strong pickup, assuming he picks up where he left off. If you were able to get him, I think kudos to you. What were your thoughts on people jumping on Jacob Junis, who I think we even talked about a few weeks ago, starting to jump on picking up Jacob Junis?
Yeah, he pitched on Tuesday, I think.
Yep.
Or not Tuesday, Sunday.
It was just recently.
Yeah. Looks like he might have a two-step next week, which would be good. Yeah, I mean, I think Junis, the ceiling isn't that high. You know, he doesn't strike out that many guys even this year when he's been great. You know, the K minus walk rate is nice at 16.2, but only striking out 21.2% of folks, only has a 9.7% swinging strike rate, really relies on the CSW to kind of carry him. But he's getting chased on pitches outside the zone, can't get swings and misses outside the zone. He's kind of the same guy, you know, lower BABIP, lower home run rate, whether that's a product of the way the Giants are having him pitch or the stadium or whether he's just been lucky, I'm not sure. But, you know, I think he's fine in 15 teamers. I think there's a lot of like in a 12 teamer, I'd stay away. I think there's a lot of downside and not a ton of upside just because the Ks are kind of limited. Yeah.
We'll go through a few more here. Jose Miranda picked up in 43 leagues, as high as 47. I love what I'm seeing from him. It's one of those, you know, prospects, slow start. They were going to send him back down. Injuries kept him up, but he's starting to get comfortable again. you know, in the preseason, like best ball leagues and stuff, this was the guy everybody wanted to target. He's going to be the new third baseman. He crushed it in the minors last year. Well, since June 1st, he's hitting 301, six home runs, 19% K rate, which I think is strong, 221 ISO. Been very, very effective as he appears to be getting comfortable at the plate there. And he's got first base, third base eligibility. I was honestly surprised he's still sticking around in this May leagues. I guess it's the product of a 12-team situation. But I think he's a very strong, like, he might not light the world on fire consistently, but I think if you just kind of plug him in for the rest of the season, you're going to be very happy with your end results with Jose Miranda, is the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's, like, kind of blah for 12-teamers, but you mentioned, like, the low K rate is great. Playing time's a little iffy because Miguel Sano is coming back as well, so there's another guy to kind of split things with. He's been pretty lucky, 9 barrels, 8 home runs. So, you know, I think he's fine. I think he's fine. You know, good in 15-teamers, but I'd kind of steer clear of him.
Miguel Sano needs to go away. Let's just be honest. Like, he doesn't need to be involved in this anymore.
Man, he was barely striking out in the minors. I'm sure he's going to come in 15% K rate, you know. Just
if Miguel struck out 15% of the time, Miguel Sano, he'd hit like 75 home runs.
I know.
But we know that's not going to be the case. All right, let's go over our pickups of the week, and we'll get some listener questions here, Toby. So if you want to pull up your ad drops for the
all
week.
All right.
And let us know what you got going.
Let's see what we got. Fab results. All right. Added Ha-Seong Kim. Dropped Michael Chavis. $13, $8 runner-up. These are all 15-teamers for the time being. Kim's playing every day. Needed a corner infielder. Chavis is not playing every day. He does have two lefties to start out this week. But they're tough matchups. Or not tough matchups, but difficult enough matchups. And it's, you know, poor guy. He had 2 barrels in this one game and 2 flyouts, you know, just brutal. Added Joey Gallo, dropped Nelson Velasquez, $6, no backup bid. Nobody likes Joey anymore, even though, you know, he's career worst across the board in all the luck stats. So hopefully that changes sometime soon.
I haven't
hit a home run on Sunday.
I haven't seen a tweet from you on that one like you got from Jonathan Scope and others. You don't have the courage to throw that tweet out there?
Well, Jonathan Scope did me in, you know. He's like, I'm going to hit this one week that you talk
and steal,
about.
And steal 4 bases, though.
Yeah. Brooks Raley added, dropped Tyler Duffy, added Reynaldo Lopez, dropped Bruce Dark Gratterall, added Matt Buehrling, dropped Luis Gonzalez. The Giants have a bunch of lefties coming up.
Yep.
I think they have 3 out of 4 after
tough
the break.
Too.
And then they have 3 out of 4 Monday through Thursday. Gonzalez has not played against lefties, or he's played against lefties and then not against righties, which is bizarre. Hasn't really been hitting since he came back, and just not all that confident that he'll be able to keep up what he was doing earlier in the season. And then, you know, he's kind of week to week. This is a standalone league, though. So, you know, more interested in the ratios than, I mean, I would love to get some saves, but more interested in protecting some of the ratios there. Another standalone 15-teamer. Added Andrés Muñoz, $13, runner-up of $10 for Hunter Strickland. Muñoz has just been the best pitcher on earth, practically, outside of maybe Shohei, over the last couple months. And again, standalone league, looking more for ratios than for saves, at least now. This was a mistake bid, actually. I got Miguel Rojas for 9, backup of 1, dropped Michael A. Taylor. This one, that was a bad bid on my part. It's one of those ones where, like, you hit pretty far down on the conditionals, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I didn't really think that I have 4 shortstops now. Why on earth did I bid $9 for that guy? I know he has 4 games coming up, but not $9. Not $9, guys. In one of my mains, picked up Kyle Finnegan, 34, runner-up of 27. I dropped Marco Gonzalez. My pitching in this league is very good. My staff is like Garrett Cole, Dylan Cease, Zach Wheeler, Miles Mikolas.
Yeah.
Eric Lauer. I have one other guy who's really good. So Marco Gonzalez is just, I'm up by 100 Ks, I think, something like that, 110, 120 Ks. So Marco Gonzalez feels zero need for me. Added Akil Baddoo, dropped Bruce Dark Gatterall. Again, Badoo. I think there's actually a mistake on RotoWire. I think RotoWire had the Tigers and the Twins having a doubleheader on Saturday, but somebody has since told me that that's actually a lie. Is that right?
I haven't. No. I saw the doubleheader. I saw them not playing on Friday and having a doubleheader on Saturday. I was very confused by that.
Yeah.
Regardless, I think they play three times this weekend.
Yeah. I think they only play. I think the Tigers have a doubleheader on Thursday, game, and then I just think they have two on the weekend.
Oh wow!
I think RotoWire is wrong there because I think the MLB schedule doesn't have it. NFBC doesn't have it on there.
Oh, no, I'm
so
curious.
We'll see what ends up happening. But anyways, there is either three or four righties. So Badoo should play there, you know, against Oakland. That's a nice little stolen base opportunity. Same thing with Minnesota. So just probably a 1 week rental unless they get a bunch of righties after that, which it doesn't look like they have. So we'll see. We'll see how things go with Badoo there, but picked him up. In my other main, I added Frank Schwindel for $17, $1 backup bid. Maybe it was a little aggressive on Frank Schwindel. Harold Ramirez got hurt, so I dropped him, which was sad. I also added Ha-Seong Kim, dropped Michael Chavis. I want to say that Padres actually have a tough schedule out of the break, which I'm a little disappointed in myself for. They've got Scherzer, Carrasco. It says DeGrom,
I
don't think they're going to have it. But
I think it's probably Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, but then they have the Mets aren't that bad for steals. But yeah, I'm not super excited about that matchup. Hey,
real quick, I looked at MLB.com and yeah, there's nothing for Friday and one game for Saturday for the Tigers.
Yeah, so I think
interesting.
RotoWire, I don't know why you still got that up there. That fooled
me.
I think that fooled quite a few people. I don't know what's going on there. But anyways, great service generally, but that's a big snafu right there. So Ha-Seong Kim, I don't know how I feel about that after looking at the schedule, honestly. I think I was just looking for a guy who was playing every day, and he's playing every day. In my OC, I added Reed Detmers, $17, dropped Nick Pivetta, $0 backup bid. Added JT Brubaker, dropped Nick Lodolo, added Austin Slater, dropped Garrett Cooper. Slater's got three lefties. They're tough lefties, but three lefties coming out of the break. And he even played against a righty recently, and the Giants are struggling for hitting. So, you know, we'll see what we can get. In TGFBI, I added Leody, $36, backup of 26. I need speed pretty badly there. Dropped Michael A. Taylor, added Akil Badu, dropped Eric Hosmer, added Jason Adam, dropped Owen Miller, need some saves there, added Gene Segura for the stash, dropped Nick Pivetta. My TGFBI team, man, the pitching in my TGFBI team, poof, good God, it's good.
So you're giving up on Nick Pivetta everywhere, huh?
No, only in places that I, only in places where... In my OC, I dropped him, but I can pick him up next week for a buck, probably.
I'm just making sure because people might hear this because you've dropped him there and dropped him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me tell you about my TGFBI pitching staff. All right. This is why I dropped Nick Pivetta. Same reason I dropped Marco Gonzalez. Corbin Burnes, Zach Wheeler, Dylan Cease, Miles Mikolas, Kyle Wright. My bench includes Lauer. It includes Springs. Adam, I have Bard, Iglesias,
this is 16
Sir Anthony Domingos, Brad Hand. So, I think I'm like, I mean, I'm 30th overall or something like that.
Yeah.
What am I? 34th overall. But if you just look at pitching points, I'm top 10. Steve Weimer's winning that one, of course, that punk. I have the eighth best pitching. So it's my hitting that's sad, which is pretty much the case across the board. So enough about my great pitching. In barf, I added Brett Martin, dropped Marco Gonzalez, added Schwindel, $24, $0 backup. Very aggressive there. I added Matt Carpenter for $9. No runner up there. Barf is getting kind of
nasty.
A little, people aren't, not how many people are paying attention anymore. Only Matty Wood, who put in like 7 bids last week. Who's great? Him and John Posma are in a battle for our main event right now. And Matty's gone on a super hot streak. He's got a really, really great team there. So
I lost all my barf bids. That was very disappointing. I did not have enough contingent bids in barf. That one got me good. I was more focused on my OCs. That's where I was. I was like, my contingency bids on my OCs were long. Like there were a lot of ratio relievers I was in on. There was all kinds of things that I was going for in the OCs this week that did not pan out into my deeper leagues, of course. Speaking of the OCs, I got Jacob Junis, dropped Dane Dunning, $8, no runner up. Got Braxton Garrett, $8, dropped Aaron Civale, $2 runner up. Added Trent Grisham. Again, Padres tough series coming up, but I like the improvements Grisham's making, even in the hard hit skills and everything. I think we might have an interesting second half coming there. Dropped Kevin Biggio, $6 too. And I grabbed Ha-Sung Kim as well. Dropped Hunter Dozier, 4 for $0. Those are more long term bids for me, kind of like what you were seeing every day at bats. Schedule's tricky though, so that'll be interesting. Next OC, added Brandon Belt, dropped Brendan Donovan, 8 for $0. Added Sir Anthony Dominguez, dropped Dane Dunning, 6 with no runner up. Added Carson Kelly, dropped Mitch Garver, 6 for no runner up. Next OC, this is the one where we had five total bids this week. I added Leody Tavares, dropped Colton Wong, $12 with no runner up. Added Braxton Garrett, dropped Dane Dunning, 7 for no runner up. 4 of the 5 bids this week had no runner-up bids. One of them was a $1 runner-up. This is the league that gave up quickly. And then in the next OC, added Matt Carpenter, dropped Michael Chavis, 13 with a runner-up of 12. Added Diego Castillo, dropped Glenn Otto, 3-1. Added JT Brubaker, dropped Will Smith, 3-2. So I was pretty happy with those bids in that league. Those were all pretty close, but yeah, didn't get too much else. It was almost the same stuff everywhere else. So I was on a lot of the same guys you were on. A lot of JT Brubaker, a lot of Braxton Garrett, a lot of Belt was available, a lot of 12s. So I was putting bids in on Belt. So those were some fun ones. But a lot of outfielders were available. As Leody Tavares was my top option for the week as I was going through the goodies there. All right, let's talk listener questions here. Started off with Joe G, just a simple one. How about just a prayer for Luis Robert? Yeah, that's the guy just can't stay healthy.
What happened? Did something happen to him?
He's just a little banged up. He's fine for now, but he just keeps getting hurt. Every time it seems like he's going to do well, he gets banged up, and he's like sidelined there day to day or something. So it's always something with Lou Bob. Dave Petroziello. So I'm going to put myself out there with a gut take. I have Leody Tavares over Esteri Ruiz rest of season, and my bidding this past weekend reflected that. I did get Ruiz in on my two teams where Tavares was picked up last week, but on the other three, including my two most important, I got Leody Tavares on both. Am I nuts, and am I the only one thinking this way? I know we agree with you, Dave.
Yep, I agree with Dave.
Yeah, 100% there. And Dave got him in. Actually, I got my stuff up here because I'm in a league and he's winning the OC that I'm in with him. Let me see where he got this one. I'm pretty sure I can give the secret away since the move's already been done. That's not against NFBC code. He added Leody Tavares for $89 with a runner-up of 23 in the one I'm in with him. He also got – oh, no, that's a different guy. But, yeah, $89 for Leody Tavares in that OC that he's winning right now, doing very, very well. Todd Whitestone asks, hey, guys, how about a short discussion of the San Francisco starting pitchers Alex Wood, Alex Cobb, and Logan Webb? How risky do you rate their first post All-Star break starts versus the Dodgers, and what's your rest of the season outlook for them? I have my biases, Toby. I'll let you have the floor first, though.
Remind me of the players, Logan Webb.
Wood, Cobb, and Webb.
Just that start or just like overall?
Just overall what you think for the rest of the season. Like the Dodgers games are the Dodgers games to me. They're going to be tricky, but you're going to start them pretty much because there ain't many other options for the week. But, yeah, rest of the season, what do you think about those three?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Wood, I mean, there's some lack of luck there. You know, he's got the highest BABIP he's had since his actually, I guess he had that shortened season in 2020, but in a very long time, well above league average, well above his career average. He's also got a strand rate that's well below his league average. So I think there's some positivity coming his direction there. K-minus walk, 18.3% is really solid. Swinging strike isn't that good, but gets a decent number of called strikes. O-swing is nice. In-zone contact isn't great. You know, they're not throwing him a lot. Like, I remember he was cruising in his last start in the fifth inning and then an air and a couple just like infield singles, and they took him out of there at like 75, 80 pitches. I think they're really hesitant to let him go deep in games. Cause I think they showed a stat like after pitch 75, he's just god awful. So that's a little bit, you know, like, so in a shallower league, I think you're a little concerned about that, but I think in a deeper league, you know, you kind of run him out there. Webb's been really good recently. I mean, Logan Webb is the type of guy that you're just going to have in there every single week, I think. I mean, even Wood, you're going to have him in there 80% of the time, probably. Yeah, so Webb's good.
Guys out finally, which is great to see.
Yeah, let's check out the more recent one, because I know let's check out his last 10. Because I know he did just start, you know, the strikeout rate is very low. He's only got 101 strikeouts in 117 innings. Yeah, K rate's at 24.3% over the last 10, 5.6%. But, I mean, he's not necessarily a guy that's going to, like, blow you out of the water, I think, with K-minus walk stuff, because the K rate's slightly lower. But he is – I'm going to bump this down to 5. Let's see recently what he's doing.
It's been much better.
Yeah.
At least it feels that way watching him.
His K rate's actually down in the last 5.
Wow.
It was like he went through like a period of like maybe 5 starts before that, but hasn't been as good recently. K rate's only 20.6%. But again, like he's, you know, what's his ground ball rate? It's like 87% or something like that. It's like his ground ball rate is close to 60%, you know? So again, he hasn't found that magic sauce that he had last year where he just had the elite ground balls and the swinging strike stuff. He hasn't been able to find that, but I think he's fine. You throw him in there all the time. If he's got one start and it's like at the Dodgers, then maybe not. But yeah, I think that all depends. And was there one more guy in there?
Alex Cobb.
Sorry, guys.
Luckiest pitcher in all of baseball.
The question in front of me. Yeah, I know, but let's see what
eventually
we got.
You just had to give up on that theory. It's been bad.
Yeah. So he's better. Not striking out that many guys. I mean, his swinging strike rate is 9.8%. Yeah. K minus walk is 16.1. Mm-hmm. O swing's nice, but his challenge is last year he could get guys outside inside the zone, and he can't do that right now. 89.4% in zone contact rate. So yeah, I mean, he's been kind of unlucky. 324, the 58.8 strand rate is not good, but he's generally at a low strand rate throughout his career. You know, his career 71.8%, which is lower than about the 72% that's average. You know, he's limiting home runs considerably, which is really, really good. So that strand rate for sure comes up and he improves and gets better, but he's not the same guy that he was last year. At least he hasn't shown that yet. How many games does he have since he came back from his injury? Six games. Let's see what he's doing his last 6 games, you know, because we're interested in those like non-random endpoints. So yeah, he's sucked in his last 6 games. I mean, skills wise he's sucked.
Yeah,
so his in zone contact rate 93%. O swing down at 31.2, K rate down at 15.7% over his last 6 games since coming back. Walk rate's at 6%, not bad, but it's right about the same as his swinging strike rate is. Let's see if his velo's down over that period of time. That wouldn't surprise me. Oops. Yeah, velo's down. Let me see his sinker. Oh, it's actually up. That's interesting.
The splitter is what's important for him. If he's getting that work, he's doing good. If he's not, he's in trouble.
Well, let's see how often he's throwing it. Oops, that's velocity. He's throwing this 41.9% of the time. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what's going on there, honestly.
Well, like,
but it's not pretty recently. It's not pretty recently.
Recently, it's been very tough to watch with him. And the problem is with all the balls in play he's giving up, the defense has been pretty bad for the Giants. It's compared to years past. Like, it's been a bad defense that has failed many times. So I'm not going to give him all the blame, but he still is not getting the job done. He's got to be striking guys out more often and at least getting them to miss, and he's just not doing it. So Cobb's sketchy. Yeah. Wood, I like. Yeah, going deep into games is an issue for Wood, but we've seen some positive signs of late. Kind of a couple of games probably skewed his stats in the positive in a big way because he overall probably has not been great, but I could see Wood being formidable more often than not for you. And Webb, like you said, you're going to pitch him every time. Unless he's in Coors and you have better options, you're pretty much going with Webb every time out there. And against the Rockies this year, you probably throw him in Coors too. So it's an interesting situation. But I think Webb's a lock. Wood's most of the time. Cobb's a sketchy one. Streamer right about now. Like I'd honestly rather roll Jacob Junis than Alex Cobb right now. That's where I'd be when it comes to Giants pitching. So we'll have to kind of see how that goes. All right. Next question. Anthony Gialdi has a question for me. What would you say is your best barbecue item? Ribs, brisket, chicken, etc. Do you ever get into barbecue competitions? We have a big one here in Kansas City.
You want to know something? I got to answer this one, Bubba. This is my specialty.
I know. That's what I was wondering. This is you. No, for me, I'd say my best is probably some sort of steak of some sort, but I do like some ribs as well. I need to get brisket figured out. That's one thing that's on my list of things to do over the next couple months. And I have not done any official competitions. I've had some friends do some rib cook-offs down in Arizona, but I have not. We just do a bunch of catering and fundraising around here. The group I barbecue with, we raise money for kids in the area by cooking, basically. So that's what we do. That's when I post my pictures. We're feeding lots of people because they pay us to cook, and that's what we do. So it's a fun little deal. The guys get together, barbecue big meals, and have some fun.
But, when you going to start throwing tofu on that barbecue, Bubba?
We actually have an event. No, not yet, but I have, because I'm the president of this club right now, so people call me to like organize the menu and see what we can do. And we have a potential wedding coming up in November, and they asked us, because we do like a special like pink bean recipe deal with like different stuff, they asked if we could do a vegan beans.
Oh,
so no tofu, but that'd be a first for this club, let's put it that way.
Well, big moves in my house. My kids, who haven't really eaten meat their whole lives, are now ranging into the meat department. So we had like a pepperoni pizza. Like, I think I actually touched the pepperoni at one point in time. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I get it. I heard our buddy Rob DiPietro had, I believe, a Slack and Sackett. And you guys were, they brought you into the conversation because I believe you guys are all vegans, all four of you, or just three of you. Sackett might not be.
No, Sackett's a vegan.
Slack.
I eat fish and seafood.
Oh, okay, so you're pescatarian.
Yeah, so I'm pescatarian. Yeah, I don't think he is for sure, but he could be.
They had a big conversation on it, and I respect it all. That's why it's fun. I really don't care what people eat, to be honest with you. If whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat, like do it.
I mean, you guys are raising money for kids.
That's what we're doing. We give thousands of dollars away to kids and scholarships and all kinds of other things. So
that's cool.
That's the purpose of it all for us. We're not just like, hey, let's just go get really fat. That's not the goal on this one. But we do get to eat well. We get to eat it, but it's not just for us. All right, Edward J. Gillis, I hinted at this question earlier. Hey, guys, not much pitching out there in 15-team leagues. I picked up Cole Irvin from Oakland a couple times. He's 15-team viable from time to time. I agree.
I mean, he's been good. I dropped him a while back in 15-teamers, and he's been good since.
He said Domingo Germán 2 weeks ago. He should be coming back from the IL potentially. And the opinion on them, and who have you grabbed in the last 2 weeks? You mentioned Irvin. He threw a gem against the Astros in his last start. Like, he's got those blow-ups, which you expect from Cole Irvin. But I think he's got better or more good starts than bad starts, if that makes sense to anybody out there. Like, he's been formidable, especially in 15s. I could see that appeal. Germán, I'm just worried about what you're going to get because he hasn't pitched much lately outside of these re-ups. Because when he got hurt, we haven't really seen much of Domingo Germán. And in that Yankees rotation, where's he going to fit in? That's my concern. But what's your thoughts on Cole Irvin and Domingo Germán? And then who have you been picking up lately?
Yeah, I think with Germán he'd fill in for Severino.
That's right.
I think that's the talk.
That's correct. That's correct.
Germán, we kind of like know who he is. Low whip because he doesn't walk a lot of guys because of the O swing being really high. Decent strikeouts, but man, does he love to give up a homer. 1.66 home runs per nine throughout his career. And I think that's been kind of the bugaboo. against him. That's like what's really hurt him. So the ERA, I wouldn't expect anything necessarily to change. You can look at like his bat projection. I mean, it's good. 3.92, 1.17 whip, 37 strikeouts and 39 innings pitched. So I like that, especially with the opportunity for wins that you might get there. You know, not thinking about all the like off the field stuff with Herman either. And then what was the other?
Cole Irvin.
Oh, Cole Irvin. Yeah, I think he's one of those like the upside pretty low because the K rate is so low. You know, like, yeah, his K rate's 16.1%, career 16.4%. And I think the challenge with that is if you can be successful, if you can keep that ERA down, if you can keep that whip down, you know, then great. Like, that's awesome. But it's really hard to do that in Major League Baseball when you're when the ball is being put in play that often. 258 BABIP, you know, his career is 294. So definite regression coming there. So, and then it's like he's on the A's. So how many games is he actually going to win? Although that team has been like a little bit better. So I just think like that the upside is very low on Irvin. Yeah. I'd much rather have Herman in that instance. So,
and Irvin is strictly a 15 team league guy. Like, unless he's got a great two start and a 12.
Oh yeah.
I'm just going to make that very clear. Cause I've looked at Irvin many times. He's been like on conditional bids down the list. Like, I get it if you need somebody, but let me be very clear. He is more of a 15-team guy in the long run, 100%. I think his other part of the question was guys we've been adding lately. I think it's guys we've talked about, like Max Meyer if he was available, Jacob Junis if you can jump on him early. Reed Detmers was available in some 15s when he first got called up. JT Brubaker was a good one to go add. Stuff along those lines is what I'd be thinking. Like, I know some people added Daniel Lynch before he went on the IL. Dane Dunning was popular before he got hurt. Guys like that is kind of where I'd be leaning in 15s, but it's always a fluctuating situation of which four or five starters coming back from the IL that you can pick up.
Yeah. Starters were particularly brutal this week. There was really nothing out there. Let me see. I think he got picked up. Let me just double check here. One guy that I liked that I didn't end up getting anywhere. My challenge right now, or not a challenge, I mean, it's a good spot to be in, is just that like my pitching is generally my strength. And so I'm finding myself going after hitters a lot more and not even being aggressive on pitchers that I really like because I don't want to spend my fab on them. I think he must have been picked up. So, yeah, he was picked up in virtually all of my leagues. Cutter Crawford was a name that I really liked heading into this week. But he got picked up everywhere, you know, with Waka on the IL and with Sale now probably out. I didn't see the update on how long he's going to be out, but I'm assuming it's a pretty long time. With those openings in the rotation, Cutter Crawford's actually been really good.
Yeah,
he's been sneaky good, really good. Mm-hmm. And so the problem was when he was going to pitch, but now he seems to have a little bit of an opening. And I mean, you can love Michael Waka all you want, but if you look at his metrics so far Crawford's this year, the man is smoke and mirrors so far. Mm-hmm. Waka's got like an 8.5% swinging strike rate, 9.9% K minus walk. Like somehow he has a 2.69 ERA because of a 2.40 BABIP and he's not giving up any home runs. You know, 80.9% strand rates, over 7% higher than his career average, despite having the lowest swinging strike rate of his career, the second lowest K minus walk rate of his career, the worst in zone contact of his career. Like, that guy's going to get blown the heck up, you know, the second half of the season. So I liked Cutter Crawford. That he was the starter that I was most aggressive after.
He seems to be, like you said, locked in there, which is big. I'm trying to find a tweet, and if I can find it by the end of the show, I'll put it out there. Someone compared him to an elite starter a bit and kind of compared their overall K percentages and like contact rates. I know it's a small sample with Crawford, but it's pretty impressive. So if I can find that, I'll bring it up as we go on. But I think that's a really good call there with a Cutter Crawford.
I'm pissed off.
Oh, what happened?
These bids. One of the leagues where I kind of need a little bit of starting pitching, I had Andrés Muñoz above Cutter Crawford, which makes sense. I mean, in some respects, but I got Miguel Rojas instead of Cutter Crawford.
Yeah, that could come back.
What the heck happened there?
It happens. You're just an innocent, but it happens. You're not perfect. You're not a robot like your buddy Phil. So it's okay. You're allowed to make mistakes. Last question we have here is Lil Book of Calm. He asks, who are the relief pitchers most likely to be affected by a trade, either by leaving their current situations or by their team acquiring somebody new? And this is always the fun guessing game that we play. But I think you look at the bad teams. The Orioles used to be a bad team. I still think Jorge Lopez could be dealt, which brings Felix Bautista into play for sure. And then you just kind of go down the list. You know, Kansas City is always interesting to do something, but you never know how that's going to play out. Oakland's always in play as well with Lou Trevino.
Don't say that. Don't put that into the world.
I would love to see Lou Trevino too, but we know the A's. I think Joe Mantiply could replace Mark Melancon here sooner than later, because even though Melancon's getting paid, he has been messy. David Robertson for the Cubs could get dealt at some point in time, which could make things fun. Kimbrel's been bad, so Evan Phillips could be something to look into as well. And there's some of those other revolving doors. So who are some of the guys you're looking at there in the relief market?
I mean, you mentioned a lot of them. The biggest one for me has been Felix Bautista. I actually picked him up a couple weeks ago. Jorge Lopez has been really good, and I think the Orioles will try to take advantage of that. But Bautista was also injured, and so it'll be interesting to see where he's at. I think he threw a bullpen on Sunday, and people thought he might come into the game, but then he went back to the dugout. So I'm not sure what the latest is on that. It'll be interesting to monitor that situation. I think that David Robertson's a good one, but who takes over that role? I mean,
good luck.
Rowan Wick has been really bad.
Maybe Givens, maybe.
Givens has been okay, I think.
Yeah.
Efros has been really good, but you never know like what direction they're going to go there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of bleak, honestly.
It is. And the other problem is with another playoff team in each league getting in there, it makes the question of even less guys might get dealt or moved, or a lot of questions can take place. It's going to be interesting to see. I think you have better chances of guys just losing their job because they stink. So you can play that game. If like, you want to play Reds roulette, knock yourself out. I'd prefer not to. Marlins have options because Tanner Scott, will he stick forever? Probably not. Like, just be realistic on some of these. Even the Giants with Camilo Duvall, he's going to get most of them. But we've seen other guys get shots. So it comes down to do you want to get guys with good ratios that get strikeouts that might sneak out a winner? It's like Devin Williams. I've been trying to add him everywhere I can. I know, and that was even before Hader was getting hit around. Devin Williams is like the Paul Sewald types. It just gets such good ratios, such good strikeouts. Like, gets you wins, sneaks in some saves. Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck, those type of guys. I that's kind of the things I'd be looking at too. So something to think about. All right, Toby, any closing thoughts as we wrap up another episode of Bubba and the Batflip?
No. Second half of the season, it's there. Let's go grab it.
11 more fab periods. I think someone put it, it's like 40 to 45% of the season left to go. We're a little over halfway, because technically, you know, once we leave July, we have, what, 2 months, August, September, 2 full months to go. So it's going by fast. We still have a long ways to go, though. So it's kind of like one of those, it feels like we're getting close, but we still got a long ways to go. So keep grinding. People are playing football. You can see it everywhere. We've mentioned the guy, certain leagues. I laughed so hard when I saw 12-team OC where people paid $350 to get into. Now, I know it's not a main event, but they paid $350 to get into this league. There was 5 moves this last week, and one of them had a runner-up bid of $1. The rest were unopposed. I was just like, I wish I would have had more guys to drop. I could have had everybody on the face of the planet in this league, but I just didn't have anybody to drop. So you're seeing it already. I know it was a holiday weekend, so you might have got – or it was the All-Star weekend, I mean, so people might have kind of slept on it, but you're going to see more of that going forward. That's just the way it's going to be. So buckle up, see what happens. And we'll be back with you guys next week with another fab recap for you. Check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba and the Batflip episode 129. Catch y'all later.
life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.